You got anything to say?
All right. Okay, I got it. Okay, okay, Fiend. Last week, Reg had a pretty funny intro. I think he said, hey, guys, what's up?
I probably should have been paying attention when he said something.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 27, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ad Guy Minotti, as usual. And this week we have our good friend and squad mate, Jeff Fiendwagger Parsons. It is Wagger, right?
It is. It is
Wagger. I got to tell myself that. That
shocked my world because I thought it was Wager for so long. But I just say Fiend anyway, so it's no problem.
Just keep the mental umlaut in your head and you'll be fine.
There we go. So, welcome to the show, Fiends. Thanks, guys. To have you on. I always think of you as the most intimidating looking of the squad mates. Just, I love that.
He's into death metal.
Oh, man, that's hard. Was, I don't know.
He met Metallica.
I did meet Metallica. I'm not really into death metal, but
I don't know what it is.
Metal
it's
in general.
Not death. AJ doesn't know a thing about
yeah,
metal.
Yeah, I really don't.
He knows his favorite band.
I listen to Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, he likes Jimmy Buffett. Oh, man, he's pretty tough. Oh, God. Anyways, so here's what we're going to do today, everyone. We're going to start off with the news. We got some good news here. A lot of fun things to talk about. Then we're going to continue the Game of the Year's Past segment, this time 1988.
Okay.
So we're churning along there. And then we got the Great American Agi Gaming Quiz, once again inspired by the games from 1988.
Jeez.
So we'll see if you can do – I think you got like, what, two last
two
time?
Two or three. Yeah.
You haven't been doing too well lately.
These are hard.
Yeah, well, you know, shape
up. I was
up.
Four at the time, keep in mind.
I'm probably supposed to help during that too, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You're my phone-a-friend. I only get half a point if you help, but you get a gold star if you get it right.
Those gold stars can be turned in for various goodies and whatnot. It's like
to be determined at a later date.
I'll give you a little plush toy or something. And then we're going to talk about our week in gaming, games we've been playing, that sort of thing. Then we're going to hit up the downloadable game releases and then the weekly game releases. We actually have a top 10 at 411 Mania to talk about this time. I'll get it later. Don't worry. I think it's top 10 worst video game movies.
Oh.
And I've seen them all, folks. So,
God. Of course you have.
Oh, I'm one of the few people out there who actually appreciates what Uwe Boll does.
We're going to look at that list of 10 movies. I'm going to say there's $100 you could have right now.
I rented them. I didn't buy them.
Renting is what, $5? Okay, $50.
We're gonna have a discussion later. Okay. And I'm gonna defend Bull because he's I need that man to do what he does for as long as possible. And then that's the show, everyone. So we'll get started with the news. Hit it up, Badge Guy.
Alright, off we go. Capcom has announced Lost Planet 2.
Did you play Lost Planet, Fiend?
I played the demo, did nothing for me.
It didn't do much for me either. I thought it was very pretty at the time.
Mm-hmm. It was nice to see. It was like a Japanese developer taking the Xbox 360 seriously. Like they were one of the first ones to do it.
It was in the first year of the 360 before like we had like Gears of War, like the first like big like.
It always kind of smacked of Japanese developers making a Western game, but it did some good things. So I hope they refine it more for this sequel.
It was very white.
Yes. Well, in this one, you're going to see some green because they confirmed some jungle environments. I don't know how that'll work in the story or whatever. They also. I wasn't entirely clear. I read one story said co-op, which I don't know if that means in the single-player campaign. And then there's also, like, a separate mode of four-player co-op missions. Then there's going to be, like, mechs that have, like, a driver's seat and a gunner seat and things like that, too. So, yeah, could be fun.
Okay.
I remember not being able to beat the demo.
It's a very hard game. I think I just got to a part where I was in it.
It was like when you were in the mech, and I think the game expected me to be invisible because I was in a mech, but I just got destroyed.
Right. Okay, we got all kinds of PSP stuff. First with some hardware rumors, because it seems like there's one of these every week. We got two. First, the supposed PSP 4000 is going to be more of a complete aesthetic redesign as opposed to the incremental designs they've been doing. This one will supposedly have a sliding screen. I don't know if this is true or not.
What do you mean by sliding screen?
What would that
do? You ever see, a lot of the blogs have the fake mock-up of this where it's literally like... Think like the cell phones that slide up and there's the keyboard underneath. This would slide up and there would be like your buttons and analog.
When I hear sliding screen, I think of like a door.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
How is that useful in any way?
I guess it would make the system less wide. It would just be as wide as the screen, making it much more portable.
It would look sexy and sleek.
Maybe. What I think they need to do, I was telling you this earlier, as I was installing Oblivion onto your Xbox 360's hard drive, I was like, why can't I do this with a PSP game? Why can't I put in the UMD, install it to a memory stick, need to have the UMD and like verify on the game, but like play it off the stick, save the battery, save the load times.
I'm not an engineer, Edge guy. I can't tell you.
It seems like they should do that.
Well, maybe they can't.
Okay.
You want a lot of things that you always ask for hefty things and make it sound like it's no big deal. I just want to be able to install games into my PSP.
Well, I asked for a PS3. That they did one of those, so they're capable of stuff.
What do you mean asked for a PS3? That wasn't much of a bet.
Well, please make. That's what I'm saying. If they can make the PlayStation 3 with its 8 million cell processors or whatever, I think they can do
this.
That's
working out real well for them, isn't it?
Well, touche.
I can't see why they're not implementing more of those features into their other systems.
Yeah, yeah. So David Perry in his Twitter has totally confirmed the PSP2. That will be UMD-less. Sony's response to this is like, who?
That guy made Earthworm Jim, man. That's not cool. Those guys are jerks.
Well, yeah, but what's he done in the last, like, 10 years?
Dude, what have you done in your last 10 years?
Did
you make Earthworm Jim?
No.
No.
You still have that poster?
Earthworm Jim 2 poster. Too cool for a headline, whatever the hell
that
means.
Which is a headline, but, you know,
whatever.
Is he really going out on a limb there, though? I mean, does anybody think there's going to be a UMD port on the whatever the next PSP is?
Yeah, this isn't like a shocking revelation. So, I don't know, whatever. I mean, well, here's the thing. So, like, everyone's, like, been waiting for these PSP hardware revisions to save the PSP, but maybe some games would help, such as these ones that they just announced. And this is actually fairly exciting stuff. There's a brand new Assassin's Creed game coming to the PSP. They've confirmed Little Big Planet for the PSP, which may actually interface with the PS3 version.
I think they're not sure if it's going to or not. Like, it seems to be that would be pretty necessary.
Yeah, you know, it'd be good to know. Yeah, and then,
Rock Band Unplugged.
Yeah, something called Rock Band Unplugged.
Which sounds like Frequency, basically.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. Everyone else probably won't like it as much, but I like it.
Yes. They're also going to do, some more hardware bundles. I believe one was the... I didn't write it down. A new MotorStorm coming to the PSP as well. I forgot to type.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're going to do some hardware bundles. There's going to be a Hannah Montana game in PSP.
God.
So it'll be like a kind of purplish-pink. So, you know, we could get one for Chris for his birthday since he sold his PSP.
So wait, this Assassin's Creed,
it's not a port. It's a new game. Set still in, like, the whole Altair era. Because the rumor is that Assassin's Creed 2 is going to take place during, like,
Venice.
In Venice during the Renaissance or
that
something.
That sounds pretty cool, doesn't
it?
I'd play that.
I would.
I just hope they keep kind of slowly progressing up. I want the Colonial. Colonial.
Oh, Assassin's totally.
Creed.
Absolutely.
Sweet. I want to, like, Paul Revere, like, the British are coming, and I just, like, shoot him off his horse. Cool stuff like that.
Okay. I don't think I do
One
that.
One by land, two by the sea, bitch.
Great. Okay, I'm just curious to see if you guys actually care about this. Do you have any interest in the game Mad World on the Wii? Fiend, do you even have a Wii?
I had a Wii. I sold my Wii. As of Sunday, I have a Wii again.
Oh, wow. Good timing. Please don't.
Oh, it's you know what? It's like golf. Ball jokes never stop being funny.
Yeah.
Wii jokes never stop being funny.
I thought it was over Wii jokes until that sequence right there, though.
Jesus.
About losing a Wii and selling it and getting a new one. I don't know. It had me going. I'm sorry. That was unprofessional.
Yeah, you're anything but. Well, Mad World, being one of the few games that seems to cater to the hardcore, is not shipping with a 480p mode, just 480i. Which, the only reason I think that is strange is because it is kind of catered to the hardcore, who are probably the people who actually care about this stuff.
I don't know. It's Mad. You were asking before how much we care about Mad World. I feel like people keep telling me I should, but I still haven't been motivated enough to look at a single video.
Yeah,
of it
it's
or
like
read
okay, so it's a brawler that's really violent. Like, I've played a lot of brawlers, and a lot of them aren't that good.
And we'll see.
I've been saying this for a while, though. As a rule, I think Japanese games are over.
Are just done.
I mean, you got your Resident Evils, your Final Fantasies, the big franchises, but it just seems like they don't translate to American gaming tastes anymore.
I kind of agree with that. Yeah, it goes back to that thing I said about Lost Planet, where it's like, especially when they try to make a game that's Western, it just doesn't work at all.
Even in Japan, new Japanese IPs have a hard time catching on even in Japan. Like games like Okami, which you think like, okay, yeah, it didn't do well here, but you think that would have done something in Japan.
Nah.
No, but nothing.
It just seems like they only want to buy, I don't know, train rape simulators or whatever it is that they're buying in Japan.
They love Monster Hunter. That's their biggest thing.
And pretty much, yeah. Dragon Quest.
Yeah, Dragon Quest. Well, that's always been the case there. Yes. At least Dragon Quest is kind of respectable.
Gropimon 3.
Gropimon. Nice.
All right, so in Home, the Warhawk Command Center has been released this week, which is kind of like the first practical sounding thing to do in Home.
Right, I heard this described as the first decent thing in Home.
Yeah, although like I haven't gotten to try it yet. I just wonder, I hope it's not like the bowling alley where you like you can't use it if other people are using it.
Which is the dumbest thing that's ever happened in video games.
I still haven't played bowling in Home. I don't know what it's like, or pool. They might be fun. I don't know. There's always people playing, so I guess it's fun.
I guess it's a decent bowling game. That was a really good Penny Arcade comic, the one they did on Home.
Oh, actually, it was perfectly true,
the
yeah.
The post he did after it was great, too, yes. Actually.
But to celebrate the release of this, Warhawk on the PSN is on sale for $20 until March 11th, which like I'm kind of considering doing, but like I just keep saying to myself, like, am I really going to play Warhawk? Like, are they just tricking me?
I don't know. Warhawk.
I do, too. I just feel like I got enough stuff to play right now. Yeah. The booster packs are also on sale. I think you can get all three of them for $10. Famitsu Weekly has revealed Virtual On coming to Xbox Live Arcade, which has me mildly excited.
I think I told you before, like, I feel like I should be excited, but I think I like Virtual On in concept more than I like it in practice. The idea of the big giant robot fighting game. But I remember it was you only have three moves, and you basically just, they're assigned to buttons. And you use them, and then you wait for them to charge again. There's not that much to it.
No, so it's a $10 downloadable game. It could be pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see. I mean, this the day and age, like the sort of casual fighting game is dominated by Smash Brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it competes or compares.
So did you guys see the pictures of this? The Classic Controller Pro that Nintendo revealed.
It looked fake.
I know, right? Like I thought it was a clip-on for the regular Classic Controller until I realized it was actually something different.
I do like it though. It's got handles and it's got extra L and R buttons. It's basically a PS2 controller.
Yeah, it's just how necessary is that?
I guess if you didn't have a Classic Controller and that was there, you'd pick it up.
Yeah, but I do have a Classic Controller now. Do I have to buy one of these? Like,
you don't have to.
If you're a sucker. Not,
yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Mike, you're gonna have one when it possibly comes out this summer. Is what they're saying.
Maybe.
So
no, I don't, because I have that awesome.
Oh yeah, you've got your Super Famicom controller.
Now that thing is cool.
I think this thing, because it adds the extra shoulder button. It's like, hey, you could put your PS2 ports on here. Now we have all the buttons.
Anyways,
yeah.
That might be a motivation though. They do have a lot of games where like you can also use the Classic controller.
Mm-hmm.
So,
isn't Monster Hunter gonna control with the Classic controller? Try or whatever it's called.
I don't know.
Maybe this is basically like the Monster Hunter controller.
It could be.
Probably is, actually, now that I think about it. All right, so last week I talked about the public beta of Quake Live, which came out, and apparently it's so backed up, like it's you can't download it. Like the queue to download it is massive.
People want
to
play Quake 3 that bad?
It just seems to me like it's another one of those cases where they're like, we didn't think this many people would play this. It's like, it's free Quake. Of course a lot of people are going to play it.
So you can't get it to download, or you can't play it once you download it?
My understanding is you can't even get it to download. Like, you can make your account, and then you get in a queue to download the software, and it's like hundreds of thousands of people long.
Because id doesn't have servers?
I guess not.
They're a small startup now? I'm confused.
That's what it looks like. I know, right? Like, I don't understand why they don't prepare for this crap.
Oh, well.
Okay.
But now that it's out, I guess I could talk about it. It's Quake 3, everybody.
Oh, what, just plays you in your browser. Embargo?
Yeah, there's an NDA on it.
But oh.
Yeah.
Does it run smooth?
Yeah, it played. Like, when I was playing the closed beta, it plays very nicely. You know, it looks good. It plays in widescreen, which the original doesn't do. Had some nice matchmaking.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You signed up for the beta, so you got an NDA, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you broke that NDA, what could they have possibly done to you?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if they could sue me or...
For what?
For breaking the NDA.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are their damages? What did you... You talked about a game...
I mean, if I would have talked, I would have said, I really like this. That would have been pretty much what I said.
Does John Carmack drive to your house and punch you in the nose and just take off?
That might be worth it, actually.
Oh, my God.
You're John Car... Ow!
I would just, like... Taking your screen name and guess your password and going on these forums, like, yeah, I guess let me tell you about Quake Live.
Yeah, thanks.
Just to see you get punched in the face by some id guy I don't even know.
I just have the vision of the end, like the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. John Carmack with a big list of names. He's knocking on doors.
Are you Armin Minotti, a.k.a. Adge Guy? Yeah, that's me. Pow. Oh, man, that's great.
Good reference, by the way. Okay, so... Watchmen comes out next week. I'm very excited.
I don't know why you are. I'm still counting on this game being bad.
I was talking more about the movie.
Oh, okay.
Watchmen, the end is nigh, not night, as I wrote, is coming next week as well on Wednesday. Yeah,
I'm assuming bad things.
It's $20, which seems pricey, but it's supposed to be like a 6 to 8 hour, very polished looking brawler. So
assume bad things.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. It's got co-op. Don't you want to be Rorschach'd with my Night Owl?
Oh, God, co-op. I haven't seen that, like, what, Double Dragon?
Yeah, yeah.
Co-op in a brawler? How nice of them. Golly, that swell of them.
I know.
It's a movie tie-in.
Yeah, honestly.
Well, there'll be a trial, so I'll play that and see what I think.
Plus, I mean, I still have a problem with, like, Watchmen brawler. That wasn't very much of that. I know it's not, it's a prequel and stuff, but still, it's just... Doesn't seem to kind of fit what I think of as Watchmen. I don't think of Rorschach and then Night Owl just going around beating up people.
Dave Gibbons did the art.
I think everyone just, I think I'm like, oh, Dave Gibbons did it. That completely verifies it. Like, whatever.
Pretty much.
Maybe Dave Gibbons can just be bought.
Yeah. You think maybe Dave Gibbons just liked money? He's like, yes, this is canon. Okay, thanks, Dave.
Check, touché. Please.
Do you like my hat?
It's made of money.
Right, yeah.
All right. Speaking of made of money, this is actually very cool. So Sony Online Entertainment ran some promotion. They have like the in-game stores now for EverQuest where you can buy items. And they ran a thing where if you bought these certain items for every one of them sold, they would give $10 to Child's Play. Oh. They ended up raising over $20,000 for Child's Play.
Nice. The only catch is that you have to play EverQuest or EverQuest 2.
That is true.
Can I just send them $10 and call it a day?
Yeah, seriously, right?
Yeah. You go ahead, have that money. Oh, well, you play for free. That's okay.
You know what? You keep that.
How's Star Wars Galaxies going for you?
Ooh, he brought it up.
SOE is where bad MMORPGs just kind of go to die.
Yeah, huh? But the Matrix Online is really good right now.
Is that still going?
Yeah. Are any of those still going?
Yeah, those all are. The only thing SOE's ever closed, to my knowledge, is Earth and Beyond, so wait, which was actually pretty good.
I could log on and play Star Wars Galaxies right now.
Yep, yeah, you could reactivate your, or you could get the Sony Pass and have them all.
No shit.
I'm more surprised that Matrix Online is on. Wasn't that brought down to 3 servers like 4 years ago?
Yeah, like a week after it came out.
Well, couldn't they have Quake Live downloading from those servers since nobody's using them?
Exactly. There you go. You just solved the problem.
We're here to help.
Yes. All right, so Activision Blizzard just outright came out and said the Lips microphones will never work with Guitar Hero World Tour.
That's nice of them to be honest.
It should be noted that Harmonix said they would back in November. It's now end of February and we haven't heard anything. So
people like Harmonix more because they don't lie. They just kind of shift their way around the truth.
Yeah, well, I'm both companies are dumb in this case. Just make them work. Why not? Okay, so I tweeted about possibly wanting to get Puzzle Quest Galactics for my DS. Apparently, it has long load times. Huh? That is for the DS, I said. Apparently, like, every action... Well, not action, but every time you go into a new segment of the game, like a battle or a minigame or the map, there's a 4 to 5 second load time.
Why does it have to load?
I don't know. That's just bewildering to me.
It's loading the cheating.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my God. Like, I'll talk about it later, but I played the PC demo, and yeah, it cheats a lot.
How's it cheat? You're going to talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Final Fantasy IV The After Years, which is the Final Fantasy IV sequel released on Japanese cell phones, has been rated by the ESRB for the Wii. So probably coming as a WiiWare downloadable.
I approve. I've seen some screenshots. It looks a lot like a Final Fantasy IV.
Right. Why not?
So, hey, I mean, I'm all for that. I hope they don't like start making sequels to just every Final Fantasy now.
It probably will.
I know. Well, actually, I don't want to see like Final Fantasy VI, like what happened next, because these things are usually always kind of disappointments. I mean, Advent Children.
Right.
Yep. Screech and Belding are friends. Nobody wants this.
Right.
Oh, that was good too. Wait, this is just full of '80s references.
Wait, the title. Yeah, that's. I just realized now how the After Years is like a bad sitcom sequel. What is like a spinoff?
There you go.
What do like do Rydia and Cecil buy an apartment and move in together?
Somewhere in Detroit. Okay, let's move into two semi-serious topics of discussion. The first is Wisconsin has just signed into law a tax on digital downloads. The clip I have here, Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle signed a bill into law that applies a 5% sales tax to digital purchases, including downloadable music, movies, and game content. Going into effect October 1st this year, the tax on downloads is expected to rake in $10.9 million for the state between 2009 and 2011.
Do you want to know what's more likely to happen?
What's that?
Apple and other companies say, hey, fuck you, Wisconsin, and stop doing business there.
That would be something. That's like, I'm curious to see which way this is going to go. Is this the precedent now for the entire nation to have such a tax?
No, they will say, we're not interested in doing the bookkeeping. It's too expensive. We'll just rather just not have the business. And they'll draw a line in the sand.
Is Wisconsin really the state, though, that's going to, like, that's going to have an effect if Apple does that?
How much business do they lose?
Well, no, I'm not saying, are they going to lose business, but, like, will there be enough people in Wisconsin to, like, complain and get it, like, overturned?
I don't know.
What a strange place for digital media.
There is something similar like this supposedly brewing in New York. That would be more interesting, I think.
Yeah, I believe that's Chuck Schumer. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think he's the senator that's been trying to do that.
Right.
I don't like it, but I feel like this is the road we're going to be heading down eventually. Anyways. Right. I mean, people are buying more and more things online. The governments are going to want a piece of that.
You know what? I think it will eventually lose. Well, who knows? But the argument for it is that you are already paying a sales tax and a regulatory fee to your ISP.
Yeah.
To then tax you when you purchase things using the thing you're already taxed for. I think there's precedent to say that they can't do that.
Okay, also,
I'm pretty sure you do pay sales tax on at least Microsoft points and any purchase in the PlayStation Store.
You're right. I don't know.
It's, so I don't know.
It's, yeah. Who knows where this is
going? I was talking about this with my friend the other day. I just feel like, in all of these governmental bills that regulate the sale of video games, it always seems like they always fail because it's just to me the pace of government does not keep up with the pace of technology,
right?
Like at all.
Deep.
Plus, it's run by a bunch of old guys who don't understand it. I mean, I know like it's the morbid thing that everyone says, and it's kind of true. Like when these people die. And we're the ones in charge, like, this won't be an issue anymore.
Well, maybe not you specifically.
Well, no. the royal we.
I know. The royal we. Okay.
All right. And in other news. So, the Consumers had a report of a gamer on Xbox Live who had her account banned because she identified herself as a lesbian within her profile. She was claiming other people were harassing her for it. Then they reported her, and her account was suspended. She called Microsoft, and they told her she was actually breaking the terms of service.
This pissed me off.
Yeah, it's a little annoying.
It's, I mean, first off, how can they even do that? How non-PC of them?
Well, Microsoft said that in their terms of service, you are specifically not allowed to identify your sexual orientation in your profile.
Okay, so if I was going around talking about how straight I was,
you'd be banned.
No, I wouldn't. That's
if
my
it was
point.
In your profile, technically speaking, you should get
but
banned.
My point is that I wouldn't be
exactly,
in a million years.
Exactly.
But the problem is, like, this didn't even come. The only reason it came to light was because everyone was harassing her, apparently.
Yeah. Stephen Toulouse, who's the program manager for policy and enforcement on Xbox Live, said they're actively looking into changing this policy and creating a more manageable way for people to express themselves rather than the freeform text box.
You see the irony here, right?
What's that?
Is that more people are called a fag on Xbox Live per minute than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, that's the problem is like all this, like all the things that people should be banned for on Xbox Live, like like this.
Well, and it's all a matter of perspective. Like, I mean, there are people who are like, if you walk up to someone and say, "Yeah, I'm a lesbian," they like, that's like the equivalent of saying "fuck you" to this person.
No, but it's
but to them, that's like saying, "I'm a lesbian and my favorite color is blue." What of it?
I hate stupid people, but to have that as a policy,
yeah,
is to have literally a homophobic policy on Xbox Live. I mean, come on. This is Microsoft. I thought they were supposed to be a little bit like ahead of the curve here.
Yeah,
what was she trying to accomplish, though? Like, what was her reason?
I don't know what the exact text of her profile was, but I imagine it just said something like, you know, I'm a gamer who, you know, goes to college, and you know, I do this and this, and I'm a lesbian.
I'm sure it was,
like,
I'm sure
it's pretty innocuous.
I'm sure it was a more of a gay pride thing than trying to pick up other girls or whatever.
Know your audience, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And if I could change the tone a little bit here, what the hell is wrong with lesbians on Xbox Live? I think there should be more lesbians there.
Why not?
I'll take a room full of lesbians over the 12-year-olds I'm usually playing with any day.
That's probably true.
That should be a policy. We should ban 12-year-olds. 11's okay.
Yeah, and 13, fine. But now you're a teenager. Just 12. It's not about it. All right, we got two more lighter fares to end us out with now. Dead Space Extraction, or as I like to call it now, House of the Dead Space. I really want to propagate that.
That was right.
Yeah.
With that one.
It's going to support Wii Motion Plus. I find myself becoming more and more interested in this game.
Why?
I just feel like it's kind of a smart move rather than just porting Dead Space, because they brought this up on Listen Up, and it's a good point. The people who will be buying this are probably people who've already played Dead Space in the 360, but they're not very apt to buy the same game again, so you may as well do something different, mm-hmm. just in an IP they like, you know?
Right.
I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I like Dead Space. I haven't played Dead Space, though.
I played a bunch of it.
I like Dead Space. I played like 2 hours. I like light shooters.
Meh. I thought Dead Space was kind of the sleeper hit of last year for me, because it didn't get that much. Like, it got some, but it didn't get as much fanfare as it may have deserved, really. Right.
I think
it was a pretty high quality game.
I think Dead Space was 2008's Uncharted.
Good call.
That is a good call.
Good call.
What was Uncharted not getting like as much love as it should have?
Which is insane. It was awesome.
I think part of the problem is at the time just not enough people had PS3s.
Yep.
I guess. Uncharted 2 would be sweet.
Yes.
All right.
The last item we got, Activision released a new map for Call of Duty World at War. It's free. It turns out it's just the one nighttime map redone for daytime, some changes, but still, it's nice.
Yeah, Chris noticed and he was pleased.
Yes.
God, he plays a lot of Call of Duty
now. He does.
He loves World at War.
So yeah, there we go. Anything else I missed that you guys want to bring up? Or I think I got everything
worth talking about. That's about it. Pretty happening week.
All right.
Okay. These new segments have been long lately. Good, though. In a good way. All right. 1988, so... If you can think of anything, jump in here, because my list wasn't as long as the other two so far.
I have a couple written down.
Okay, so first off, I have Altered Beast here, not because I think we need to consider it, but this is the first Genesis game that I noticed on the list. And despite this might be the arcade version of it, but there it is. We have Bad Dudes, which was a brawler. Zach brought that up too via Twitter, because you know we do the Web 2.0 thing and ask people on Twitter what their favorites were.
Bad Dudes is what your grandmother bought you when you asked for Double Dragon.
Yeah, pretty much. Data East. Whatever happened to those guys?
I have a lot of Zach recommendations. I think everyone else recommended something that we already covered before. I know Angry Jedi recommended Phantasy Star, but we talked about that last year because we do Japanese release dates. Everyone gets confused, I know.
I'm confused, but I just go with it.
Right. I got Bionic Commando. Also, Zach brought that up.
That's a good game. There. Well, more so because we played Rearmed. But
yeah, I never even played the original. I played Rearmed, and apparently it was a pretty faithful remake, and I really liked it. Mega Man 2. Mm. Yes.
That's as good as it gets.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much.
Oh, yeah. Ninja Gaiden. Zach also wanted to bring that one up, which was... Another kind of successful marriage of platforming and action.
Hasn't really aged well, but okay.
No, not as much as like something say Mega Man. Okay, now this is kind of weird. Super Mario Bros. 2, the USA version, came out in 1988. But Super Mario Bros. 3 came out in Japan. So I guess we gotta consider both of those this time.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people love Super Mario Bros. 3 and think it's the best in the series.
It's great.
It's good.
2 is...
2's weird. It's a very love or hate kind of thing for a lot of people.
I'm in the hate category. I hated it then, so I can say I hate it now. But, like, it's like a it's as if the Mario games aren't acid trips enough. It's like, what are you doing in that game?
I think I have a lot of nostalgia for it, because like Mario 2 is about as old as any game for me, and I can remember watching people play mostly AG when I was like 3. So, I mean, my judgment is clouded, so I still kind of have a soft spot for it.
And I think it's funny, I have the opposite, because that was the first big sequel of that era. You know, we all right. got Nintendos to play Mario Brothers, because the historical significance of Mario Brothers was you were finally playing something that was exactly the same as the arcade game. Exactly the same. And right. then you see a sequel, awesome, and you get it, and it's you're picking turnips or whatever. It was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I have here is ice hockey, which Zach wanted to bring up, which I didn't play, but I know
I
it was
played
popular.
More Blades of Steel. Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
That was fun.
What else you got, Fiend?
Oh, okay. I've got 4. Okay. Pool of Radiance.
Ooh.
I didn't like it. I'm not saying it because I loved the game. I actually did not like the Gold Box games, but you cannot deny their importance.
Yeah, I miss that whole... I mean, I was too young, really, to play them, but like people who speak of them in the past tense speak very fondly.
They kept, they kept D&D alive for years.
Yeah.
Cyberball.
What's Cyberball?
Cyberball was a robot football game for the Genesis.
Oh. They brought that to XBLA, didn't they?
I don't know if they... I think they did, actually.
Yeah. It didn't have, like, co-op or two-player or something. It was really weird.
I don't think you could play online. I think you had to play Hot Seat.
No, I don't even think it had Hot Seat. It was... There was some discrepancy with the multiplayer.
That makes
it's
no
the game
sense.
I'm thinking of. I know, right?
Because the whole thing of that game was getting to blow up your friends and things like that. It was for when you didn't have the mental capacity to play Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Golgo 13, which has come up on the last Squadcast.
It did, right. And I kept asking, what the hell is Golgo 13? But
apparently it is an anime that I'm not familiar with. I'm not an anime guy, but as a game, right. It was the first game where you got a little sum.
All right.
I think I made Beige mad at me again. He was mad last time because we didn't know what Karnoff was, and we were bad talking the Commodore 64.
That was me getting angry about the 64.
That was you.
Yeah.
That was you. He can yell at us about that later.
But Karnoff, just to go back a year real quick, was one of the games that when you beat said, "Congratulations, you're a great player."
Oh man! Like they like enunciated the
it
English.
Actually said congratulations. Yeah.
Awesome. It's like some guy was dictating or something.
I don't think he means that it said it, but
no. That was your reward for winning that game was just a black screen with white text.
Right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It actually had the English alphabetically.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
well,
it did.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's where that came from. You've heard that before, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the last one on my list, Snatcher, came out in 1988.
Oh, okay.
Tell us about Snatcher.
Well, Snatcher's actually a piece of crap as a game now. But
that's a Hideo run, right?
Yeah, it's Kojima. It was one of the first big Sega CD games when it finally came over to America. And it was ultra-violent. That was really the big deal, is it was all stuff your mom didn't want you to see.
Mm.
That's why you wanted Snatcher.
It was kind of a precursor to his other game, Police Knots, right?
I think so. And they're very similar.
Okay.
And I believe a Metal Gear might show up in Snatcher or something related to Metal Gear.
Right.
That's crazy.
Was it that thing that they used, that Metal Gear Mark II that was in Metal Gear Solid 4?
You know, Metal Gear is not my thing, but I think you're right. I think something shows up in 4.
Okay. All right, then. This is a decent list we got here. I feel like somebody might have mentioned something on Twitter to me that I didn't recognize or forgot to put on here. But, you know, what are you going to do now?
So, I was looking for Lucas games. I guess there was nothing in 88, huh?
There was Zach McCracken. And
yeah.
I just had never played it, so I didn't put it on there. But Zach McCracken did come out this year.
It doesn't age as well as the rest of the Lucas games.
No, it doesn't. No one cares that much about it. There wasn't – someone tried to make that unofficial sequel, but I think they got a cease and desist for their troubles.
Too bad.
So, one more time, we got Altered Beast, Bad Dudes, Bionic Commando, Mega Man 2, Ninja Gaiden, Super Mario Bros. 2, Super Mario Bros. 3, Ice Hockey, Pool of Radiance, Cyberball, Go-Go 13, and Snatcher. I think we can agree this is going to come down to Mega Man 2 and Super Mario Bros. 3.
I agree.
I'm I'm going to go more with Mega Man 2.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've always liked Mario World more than Super Mario Bros. 3, and Mega Man 2 is just one of my all-time favorites, so that's what I'm leaning towards.
I agree.
All right, Mega Man 2.
I mean, Mega Man 2 was, first off, it was for a lot of people that highlighted the series. I actually do like Mega Man 3 a little bit more, but Mega Man 3 and 2 are very similar anyways.
Well, Mega Man 2's got the cool story, where, like, Mega Man 1 came out, it did, like, okay, and these guys were working on another game, but they just liked Mega Man so much, like, they stayed after hours to make Mega Man 2. Right.
And there's a lot of that love shows through. Plus, I mean, like Ninja Gaiden, I said too, but this one even more so, was like the first time you really had a really successful like combination of platforming and action in a game. And I mean, that's how many games are like that today, and they kind of owe that to Mega Man, I think. I mean, I love Mega Man too, so I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
All right. We all in agreement then?
Yep.
Agreed.
Good. So, was 86, we had Legend of Zelda, 87, Metal Gear. And 88, Mega Man 2.
All right.
We got a pretty decent list coming up here. Mostly big names so far, but, you know, he'll have that. Okay, time for the Great American Agi-Guy Gaming Quiz.
Yep, this should be interesting. It was on the side there.
What do you mean it was on the side?
Click the button, click open. Or there it is, yeah.
You know, if you just let me find it the way I could have, you could have ignored all that awkward dialogue.
Yeah, whatever, it's fine.
All right, so, you know the drill here, Edge Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Fiend for help if you want. Fiend will get gold stars, and depending on how many he gets, I'll give him a prize or something, I don't know. Sing a song for him.
Will you admit for me that the end of Fable 2 was good?
Oh my, I'll tell you what, 3 gold stars, and I will admit that the end of Fable 2 was, like, not terrible.
All right, here we go.
At least, Fiend, you liked Braid, right?
No, I think it was the most pretentious piece of crap in the world.
Okay. Dang it. Let's continue.
But it was a relatively fun puzzle game.
Okay.
Relatively fun? Okay.
Do the quiz, go.
Question number 1. The president of Bad Dudes was heavily based on Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
What was this president's name?
I don't know, but he wanted to go get a cheeseburger. Do you know, Fiend?
I do not know.
Here's a hint. This president was heavily based on Ronald Reagan.
Is it like Bob Bacon? I don't know.
President
Reagan?
President Ronnie.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay.
But he wanted to go get a cheeseburger, and then he laughed.
Yes, he did. Question number 2. In what fictional year does Bionic Commando take place?
Do you know?
I believe it's 2000XX.
Wasn't that always Mega Man? Yeah, we'll go with that.
I'm afraid it's 1980X.
Oh, son of a bitch.
1980. They couldn't nail when in the 80s it was taking place.
I never thought of it as X being like you fill in the blank. I always thought of that was like a year. Like, we got so far into the future, we started using letters and shit. I don't know.
It's just shoddy research. It's like, it was in the 80s at some point.
Question number 3. Who developed and published Ninja Gaiden?
Isn't it Tecmo? It's Tecmo, right?
Yeah, it's Tecmo.
Okay.
There you go. So, oh. What, are you surprised by the ease of this question?
It was far too easy. I was like, really?
I'll throw you a bone every once in a while.
Oh, boy.
Fiend, he's going to miss the rest of these and give it to you in order for you to get me to admit that Fable 2's ending didn't suck. So, not looking good here. Number 4, what is Mario holding on the box art for Super Mario Bros. 2?
Does he have one of those? Is it a turnip or a radish? I'm going to go with turnip.
It is a turnip.
All right.
Nice.
All right. So, number 5, we established that Mario Bros. 3 was released in Japan in 1988. What year was its U.S. release?
Okay. Do you know for sure, Fiend?
Oh, God. You know what's funny? I have a funny story about buying that game, too. I believe it was 1990. Don't hold me.
That's what I was going to say. So let's go with 1990.
All right, it's 1990. I'll give Fiend 1 gold star.
Woo!
And our bonus question. What was the full name of the Game Boy Advance port for Super Mario Bros. 3?
Oh.
Was it just Super Mario Bros. Advance 3? Or there was Advanced. There was a 3 Advanced. Because he'll hold us to this.
I think it was Super Mario Bros. Advance 2, Super Mario Bros. 3.
Let's go with that.
I'm afraid it was Super Mario Bros. Advanced 4, Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Japanese nomenclature.
Super Mario Bros. Advance 2 was Mario World, and 3 was Yoshi's Island.
Huh.
4 was finally Mario 3.
Look how they're like renumbering these things posthumously.
They should have used X's.
Yes.
Maybe that's why it's 1980X, because then it didn't matter when the game came out. They didn't have to go back and reprogram the year.
All right, Fien, I want to hear what you've been playing.
Yes.
Actually, the main thing I've been playing is Sly Cooper 3.
Oh, how's that treating you?
I saw that you were playing 2 right before,
I was,
right?
I finished 2 last week and decided just to polish off the series. It was just like a kind of a weird gap in my gaming stuff I had played. And as I'm a platform guy, I don't know why I never played them. So I've been playing it, and 2 was great. 3 is actually better.
Oh, wow.
They're really, really fun, well-put-together games.
I only ever rented them, but I definitely liked playing them. PS2 had a lot of good platformers like that. Between
really
that,
did.
The Ratchet series, and the Jack series.
Yep. I'd put this number 2. Ratchet is to my all-time favorite series of that era. I'd put this in front of the Jack series, though, just because it's not as frustrating.
Okay.
I've also been playing Flower.
Did you beat it yet?
Yeah, I'm 3 gardens in.
Okay, then we won't discuss stuff.
Yuki!
I feel the game is a little more to it than you think, I think.
AJ was talking to me about this earlier. He was like, oh, we're going to talk about Flower, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, but how are we going to handle the spoilers? I'm like, what fucking spoilers are you talking about?
There are spoilers, my friend.
I don't know where is your Flower? What spoils it?
There are. Okay, anyway, what do you think of the game so far, then?
It's neat. I don't quite get why there's so much flower. It's cool. It's fun. Yeah, it's good.
I would expect a Bray hater not to appreciate the intricacies of Flower.
I haven't seen any intricacies. You float around. You pick up petals. Things move. You turn things green.
I'll just tell you right now. It's coming.
Okay. What? I hope it is.
Well, no, yeah. No, it's right there from the beginning. If you don't see it now, he's not going to appreciate it, I think.
I didn't see
there's anything wrong with that.
The fourth level.
You didn't think something was special about Flower from the very beginning.
Oh, no. I thought it was like, I was like playing. I was like, wow, this is really fun. This is great.
So you actually liked it more in the from the fourth level on?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot to start, and then I liked it even more.
See, I don't know. I think I might have enjoyed Flower a bit more earlier when you were just a flower, as opposed to later when you become a flower on a mission.
Fair enough.
I do like it. I think it's cool. You know what I think it's perfect for? When you're done playing whatever you were playing and you're not quite ready to go to bed.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
To me, this is just like, remember like that first time you played like Kirby's Canvas Curse and you were like, okay, this is a game that is a DS game. This couldn't be done anywhere else and it works. And like, this is like what's convinced me that the DS works.
Mm-hmm.
This has done that for me for the PlayStation 3. Like, this game cannot exist on any other platform.
It definitely has the best six-axis controls I've seen.
It's six-axis, and it's pretty.
And I want to go ahead and say, it has one of the best sensations of flight I've really felt
this
in the
game. This game really, if this was like a PlayStation 3 launch title, I think actually the system would have been a lot better off.
Good point.
Well, we'll see how financially well it does, but I do enjoy Flower.
Yeah, I'm shocked, really, at just how well it controls. Like, did you know if you actually take the controller in your hand and flip it towards you, you'll start flying towards the camera? Like,
really?
It's that finite of control.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't know we would do that.
It's very well done.
It's fun. You play anything else, Fien?
I recently got back into playing Burnout Paradise on the PS3.
Me too. Well, I'm playing it on the 360.
The legendary cars suck you in?
The DeLorean sucked me in.
Yeah.
I'm that big of a sucker for Back to the Future. And
who isn't?
And Ghostbusters.
What's your favorite Back to the Future?
Yes.
No,
which one is?
Yes. One big movie.
Oh.
Love them all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on. No. Parts 1, part 2, part 3. Which one's your favorite?
If I'm only allowed to watch one for the rest of my life, I'd watch the first one.
Okay. That's acceptable. I was always kind of a sucker for 2, just because it has the most time travel in it.
I agree. I love all that. You know what's funny about Burnout Paradise for me is I'm a huge fan of Burnout, and I have not fallen in love with Paradise because they sort of took away the thing I liked most, which was just the to-do list nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
Check. I did that. I don't ever do any races. I just sort of drive around and smash into things and get billboards and the warning signs. And
yeah, I know what you mean.
Man, that seems to be enough for me with that game.
Right. Oh, totally, yeah.
I'm so bad at the races, though.
I know. It gets... it just seems like the incoming traffic becomes an oncoming traffic becomes a harder problem.
Well, I always felt like the camera in the game is just a tad too low. Like, I literally can't see over my car. And, like, you could manually move it, but you can't get it to stay there.
I miss turns.
Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to, like, watch the road, watch your mini-map, watch that thing in the top center of the screen that tells you when you should turn, watch the other cars. There's a lot going on.
A friend of mine the other day said that before a turn, the car's blinker goes off.
Really?
I've played this game for hours. I never noticed that.
Did you go back and look for it?
I can't make my eyes look at that.
Huh. I have to try that now. Because if it does, that's really cool. After a year playing that game, I never noticed that.
Hmm.
And that's it for me.
Very good.
You know what? Every once in a while, speaking of racing games that's hard to turn, every once in a while, I want a game to play, and I go find my Game Boy Advance version of F-Zero. And every time, for the life of me, I cannot, like, not totally suck at it. How do you play F-Zero?
You just have to get your head around the fact that you're not really turning your car. It's more like you're spinning the world underneath your car.
Yeah, you're pivoting the screen.
I can't do it. Let's get to it. I don't know how anyone did.
It was a random reference, but yeah.
There was a time in that I was very good at that game.
Man, I salute you, sir. I was good at unicycles or whatever that was. What was that called? That Rockstar game.
Uniracers.
Before they became Rockstar.
Uniracers. Didn't that have some kind of technology? Like, it was a debut of some new tech at the time. I forget what it was. Cool game.
It was cool.
I liked it.
Probably the Nintendo equivalent of Blast Processing.
Exactly. Yeah, something like that. Gimmicky nonsense.
Right. Okay, so what did I play? Well, I've been playing... Well, you freaking own Street Fighter 4, I forgot. So when you went home... It wasn't here anymore. I was like, oh, shit. So I didn't – a lot of times I just kept
– Can I tell you something now that I was saving to tell you till this podcast?
Well, you didn't play Street Fighter 4?
I didn't play at all.
Yeah. I figured as much. That's great. I hope you enjoyed it. I literally – the game I was playing was sitting around like, man, I wish I could play Street Fighter 4 right now. Then I said, well, either that or Eternal Darkness, because Eternal Darkness is the next squad mission.
Which I left in Pittsburgh.
You left it in Pittsburgh, and you're not going back there for like 2 weeks now.
Actually, Jim and I might be going in the next couple days. So.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're buying a used copy of it tonight.
Jesus.
God. It's expensive used still.
Yeah, I know. Sucks for you, huh?
How expensive? I thought it was going to be like $10. How much is it going to cost? If it's more than $10, I don't have $10.
It cost me $20.
Shit.
Nope, you're doing it.
Go rent it.
You can't rent it anywhere.
Yeah, they have GameCube games still at Hollywood Video.
Okay, fine. We'll go to Hollywood Video, and you will rent it. We'll see.
Well, not on my account, because Chris still never paid
on my account,
late fees.
But you're paying for it.
Okay, fine.
And you don't have to pay the late fees. You can smooch your way
out.
No,
they don't let you do that anymore.
Oh, yes, they do. You just don't have my sense of charm.
Okay.
You watch. So, actually, I did... I finally started playing Team Fortress 2.
The Scout update came out.
Right. It came out 2 years ago, the game. Which was I was looking
A year and a half ago.
It came out 2007. Well, you know what I mean. 2007. I was looking so forward to the game because I love Team Fortress Classic, and I finally, only now, I've been playing it like semi-regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I guess they didn't really say it in news, but like the final unlock that we didn't know about last week is the Force of Nature, which is a double barrel shotgun with a smaller ammo clip. But it knocks you back and knocks back whoever you hit.
First, I just want to talk about how I don't like the way that Valve does these updates at all.
The achievement unlocking thing is a broken system.
It doesn't make sense because it's not like these aren't better weapons. They're just different. Like they have drawbacks and stuff. Like I may not even use them once I get them, but you have to jump through all sorts of crazy hoops to get them. So you have all these achievement servers. You have too many people playing as scouts, and I don't know why they can only roll out one of these class updates at a time. Because, I mean, there's not even that much work for them, because they do an update, and it's a class update and, like, a couple new maps. But it's not even maps that they make, it's community maps. So I don't know what's going on there. But I've been playing it, I've been having fun. I never played the Gold Rush or the payload type of map before. And it's kind of cool. It kind of reminds me of the old Hunted style.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I really kind of like that. But I've been having fun with that. It's weird, though, because I play as like Scout and Pyro when I'm playing that game, which were two classes I never played as when I did Team Fortress Classic. So it's got a different feel to it, but I do like it.
They need to get more of those classic maps in there, though.
I know.
Because Two Fort is easily one of the best maps in there. Why can't they get the classic Well in there? Get Rock 2 in there.
There is a Capture the Flag version of Well.
Yeah, but no, I mean, like, the Well. That's, you know, Well. That looks like the level.
It's there.
No, not a level called Well that's Capture the Flag. Like, a reproduction of the level Well.
The level Well is a reproduction of the old Well. It just looks so different aesthetically. Yes, it is. I defy you to go look. I mean,
there's no Well,
different.
Probably.
Yes, there is.
No way. I'm going to look at that. There's no way it's the same thing.
Okay.
Also, I don't like the control point maps that much.
Nah, they don't work, I don't think, as well.
Well, they're linear. Like, Canal Zone 2 was fun in Team Fortress Classic because the control points were in, like, a grid. Mm-hmm. So you can go over the place. But this one, I mean, it's just deadlocked the entire time. Not as much fun for me. What about you? What did you complain, AJ?
Well, my birthday was Sunday, and you and Chris very generously got me a PlayStation 3, so...
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm back in the fold.
Yeah.
And along with it...
Try not to get this one stolen.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Along with it, I now have MotorStorm Pacific Rift, which is awesome.
Oh, man. The best thing that happened to me all week was when we went to Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah, and you beat that guy by like a tenth of a second.
Tenth of a second. Exciting race with the demo kiosk of MotorStorm.
But, like, I mean, I realize I'm a little late to the party on it, but it's just, as far as, like, old school arcade racing games go that look good, this is top of the list by far. What was cool is when I was playing it, Mom walked into the living room, and she, like, commented. She's like, this looks like an old arcade racing game like you guys would play, like, in Disney World. And I was like, that is exactly what this is. She gets it.
There you go.
But like just when you get like a full race going with all the variety of vehicles and like, you know, I was in a race truck with ATVs, motorcycles, and dune buggies. I'm approaching a ramp. I come up behind an dune buggy. I clip his wheel, knock him off the side of the ramp. In midair, I smash into an ATV and then I landed on top of a guy on a motorcycle. And I was like, this is amazing. Let's see. I also got earnestly into Little Big Planet, finally, like the single player of it.
Oh, right.
Which I played through Europe, I guess. I'm on Africa right now.
Which part is that?
The second world, I guess you'd call it. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I really enjoy it.
You get kind of a horror on the floatiness of things.
Yeah. Like, I think when I played it before, it's primarily on community-made maps, and there's definitely a large gap in quality between the included maps and the community maps.
Oh, yeah. There's some community maps, I guess, but you know.
Am I imagining things? Did they ever admit that they tightened the controls and the jumping up a little bit?
I don't know.
I haven't played it since I think people have been talking about that. AJ never played before.
Right. I brought it back with me. We could play it. But
it was really frustrating in the beginning.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, because you got it on launch, right?
I did.
You or Chris, someone. We both did. I'm pointing at him. You can't see that.
Visual cues will not work for him.
Did you do
much with the creation stuff? Because I never really
I haven't touched it yet. I want to play through the single player and unlock it as much as I can.
I haven't.
Yeah, I just play things. When I do the user create levels, the things I like to do the most are just when people make like those songs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. Or they'll have the ones where you just like go on some sort of vehicle and you go really fast and go off a cliff. I like that.
Yeah,
like, stupid things
fun.
Like that.
It's more like the toy aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But those user created levels. I mean, if that was just a platforming game and it wasn't like a whole like, oh, you can make things and share them and stuff. You know, I wouldn't have felt totally ripped off. They're well made.
Mm-hmm. It just made me think of something apropos of nothing. There needs to be a crossbows and catapults video game.
Explain how.
I don't know how it would work, but a game that's designed around breaking things.
Boom blocks?
Yeah, that's not quite the same.
I think I know what it means. If you just had a... What if there's a game where it's just a castle and you have a catapult and you just... You know, knocking the shit out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all game ever turned into. You built your shit, I built my shit, and we knocked each other's shit over.
You know, that is like, people need to delve into that more, because that's like the essence of fun, especially when you're like a little kid.
Yeah, you build blocks, you know, that's what Boom Blocks is made to do.
Yeah, but no kids don't want to play Boom Blocks. But it complicates things too much.
Yeah, I will agree. I think Boom Blocks kind of mess with the purity of the experience in places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I guess we can move on from that.
Let's see. I finally got around to playing the PC demo of Puzzle Quest Galactics, which I really enjoyed my time with in the PC version. It's a game that I want to be portable, And apparently the DS version is not worth doing. They think they announced a PSP version, and I assume there will be an iPhone version. I just don't know when. So I might just actually try to wait out an iPhone version. But to my surprise, it's kind of getting panned in the reviews.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
It seems like, you know, C's and fives for the PC version. I don't know what's wrong with it.
The only things I noticed was the art style was pretty crappy.
Yeah.
And the navigation of the whole sources and things didn't make as much sense as
I actually like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was cool.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see if I could hold out from buying the PC version while I wait.
All right. I think we're good with our weekend gaming.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
So why don't we talk about the downloadable game releases?
Okay. On the Wii, for the WiiWare, Onslaught. It's an FPS. When I first saw a screenshot of this, I assumed it was some N64 game coming to the Virtual Console I'd never heard of. So, yeah. Doesn't
Were people kind of excited about this, though?
Huh?
Were people kind of excited
about it? I'd never heard of it.
Are there any reviews? No? No? Okay. Maybe not.
And this week was the debut week of the Commodore 64 on the Virtual Console. You can tell me, Fiend, if you've heard of any of these. The Last Ninja.
Stinks.
International Karate.
Sucks.
Pit Stop 2.
Blows.
I thought you said the Commodore 64 was sweet.
Yeah, now I'm confused. I'm getting some mixed signals here.
When I read the list, it was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, those guys are going to kill me. Those are not good games. The C64 was... It was the haven for two things: piracy and cool games. Those are not cool games.
Like, what is the best Commodore 64 game? What is one of the great?
Yeah, what's the one that when I see that in the Virtual Console release list, I should be like, yes.
Oh God! Well, not counting all the Infocom games because that was the system that I played all my text adventures on.
Mm-hmm.
Hero, a really cool old Activision game. Toy Bazaar, another cool Activision game. All the Ultimas were on there. I don't see this is stuff that probably won't come out in WiiWare.
Right.
Basically anything Activision or Broderbund put out at the time. I mean, Mule was on the C64.
Mule.
There was a weird graphic adventure game called Asylum that was notable because it had like 3D hallways like Wolfenstein. But if you wanted to quickly get to the end of the hallway, you could type fart and you would jettison yourself through the hallway.
Huh. That's pretty awesome. That's worth $5 right there.
I'm far too immature to be hearing that.
Yeah.
Which would mean you'd play the game for 5 minutes, go watch fart and then be like, this game's really not very good, is it? And then you'd move on.
I would never tire of it.
Impossible Mission was on the C64.
I've heard of that.
I believe there's a remake coming of that.
Maybe that's what I heard of.
There was just so many great games. So many.
All right. We'll take your word for it.
We'll believe you. Let's see. Xbox Live Arcade got Exit 2.
I never played Exit 1.
It was okay. PlayStation Network, a PSP game called No Gravity that I know nothing about.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither.
GoodOldGames.com has Spellforce, Capitalism 2, and they just signed a deal this week with Apogee Games, so they have Duke Nukem 3D this week.
Okay.
Duke Nukem 3D, I mean, you know, that game was great back, you know, 1996 or whatever.
Yeah. All right.
Where's the heck is Anachronox?
I know.
I want that on there so bad. All right.
It seems like Anachronox and Gabriel Knight 1 are the two games just will not run on current systems no matter what you do.
Yeah, and they need to be on GOG, because that'd be awesome.
People need to play Anachronox.
Anachronox is awesome.
It was so cool. Anyways, a planet was in your party, for God's sakes. Anyways, so here's the retail kind of console games that came out this week. Killzone 2 came out on PS3.
Today.
So, there it is. 50 Cent Blood on Sand came out for 360 and PS3. I didn't realize that was, like, out.
Yeah, apparently it's not a bad game.
And apparently it's decent, I guess. Tom Clancy's N-War finally came to the PC.
No one cared.
Star Ocean The Last Hope, 360. Apparently pretty generic JRPG fare.
That was a news story I saw today. I don't know if you picked it up. Apparently last week, because of that game, the 360 outsold the PS3 and the Wii in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's hardcore.
That's cool. And, you know, even when the 360 is not outselling them, I mean, it's not doing terrible. So I'm glad,
it's not like the Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not like the Xbox One where like
we sold a dozen this week.
Yeah, it's like, why are you even trying? Isn't it weird though how like I kind of wonder, why are all these JRPG makers so intent on backing the 360?
Microsoft gave them a lot of money.
They must have. I mean, because I would imagine that they would have been much more happier to make games for the PS3. But they went ahead and, I mean, Xbox got Star Ocean, the Tales of series, the Mistwalker games. I mean, they've got all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And none of those are heading to PS3. Strange. And we'll see what happens once PS... And Sony's not getting a Dragon Quest either. They basically have Final Fantasy.
Which is also on 360, but not
Japan. It's weird, though, because when you think about, like the PS1 and PS2 were defined by their RPGs so much, especially the PS1. And, like, that... not having that is hurting the PlayStation brand right now, I think.
Did the Xbox ever get a JRPG?
The closest it really got was Lord of the Rings the Third Age, I think.
That was Western, though.
Yeah, but it basically was Final Fantasy X with Lord of the Rings skin.
But they didn't get, like, a single one.
Yeah, there was that True Fantasy Live that got canceled.
Right.
By Level 5. And
so
that's pretty much it.
Basically, this was a really smart move on Microsoft's part.
Sure. I think
so.
Drakensang, the dark guy for PC.
It's based off a popular German pen and paper RPG.
If they say so. Dead Rising, Chop Till You Drop on the Wii, which I think everyone's pretty apathetic about. Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard for PC.
I didn't realize this was out. I want to play this.
That might be funny.
Yeah.
Is Matt Hazard someone I should know?
No. Okay, so what Matt Hazard is D3, who's publishing this game, did a really smart thing where they made this whole history of Matt Hazard. Like, he started as, like, it was like an NES game, and then there were a couple sequels, and then he had, like, the 3D first-person shooter a la Duke Nukem. And then as he kind of slipped into obscurity, there was a kart racer in a mini-game collection. And now this is, like, they're reinvigorating the franchise for the next generation. But the game's very self-referential of its supposed past history. Like, there's one level I saw in the screenshots. It's like, you know, the next-gen level. Everything looks nice. But the enemies are, like, Duke Nukem-style sprites. Another level, you're fighting some guy who looks like your stereotypical JRPG boss with, like, the weird wings and the zippers and everything. And as he's fighting you, an actual JRPG menu pops up and he chooses all his attacks in Japanese.
I saw that video. Okay, that's cool.
Think Spinal Tap for video games. That's what it seems
basically,
like.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
That kind of sounds interesting. Huh?
With Will Arnett and Neil Patrick Harris doing the voice of characters.
How has it been reviewed?
I don't know. I haven't seen reviews yet. That's why I didn't know it was Alex.
Game rankings has been down, and it just takes you to Metacritic, and I don't like Metacritic as much. So
yeah.
I hope,
well, it's the same thing, but...
Sounds interesting. Shellshock 2 Blood Trails for PC, 360, and PS3.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Why would you Puzzle. Put out a first-person shooter on the same day that Killzone 2 comes out?
I don't know. What are they... I mean, it's Shellshock 2, not?
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned this. You see that EA has... publicly announced that they are going to, in the future, consider releasing games outside of, like, the holiday, when, like, they realize there's 10 other months on the calendar. Like, yeah, we think actually Dead Space and Mirror's Edge might have been better when there weren't 20 million other games coming out. Like, oh, good call.
I can see EA.
People get paid to make these decisions.
I can see EA and, like, the Lost Cat speech, like, what's a February? Puzzle Quest Galactics for a PC and DS came out. Legacy of Ys. You know, YS books 1 and 2, which is so it's basically the first and second game in the series. These games have been kind of put together a lot, not unlike Final Fantasy 1 and 2. That's been released for DS. These games are, they're roguelikes, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're popular games.
The deal with those for me, you know what I remember about those is they were on the TurboGrafx.
Right.
Yeah.
And those were the games that they wanted to try to make you buy a TurboGrafx to play. Because they had the anime cutscenes in them. That's all you'd ever see. You'd never see gameplay screens.
Yeah, you always saw that. You assumed that was the gameplay. Yeah. You're like, oh my god, it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Are these games good?
Never played them.
Yeah, me neither.
Me neither. I know. I think they came out on a virtual console. At least one of them did.
Something did, yeah.
Okay. Stoked for Xbox 360, some sort of snowboarding game. The Metal Gear Online Scene expansion came out, which adds Raiden and Vamp. I think we talked about it last week before it came out. And some game called Battle Rage for the Wii.
The third-person shooter with giant robots. All right.
Yeah, whatever. So, I mean, you got Killzone. So, you know, take what you get there. Now we're going to head over to 4-1 Mania and look at this top 10 list, the top 10 worst movie games of all time. Movie video games, I should say. Movie games, you know what I mean. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Number 10 is Doom.
I only saw the end of this movie, and it was pretty amazing. I did see the first-person shooter segment.
See, now there's, there's a point here where the game, where the movie is just bad, or the movie is great because it's so bad. Doom is probably more on the side of it's just bad, honestly.
Mm.
Do you ever see Doom, Fane?
No, you know what's funny? I'm sort of a sucker for The Rock. Also, I'll watch anything with him in it, and I just missed that one.
Yep.
Oh, I'm similar. I just saw Walking Tall for the first time. Now that was a great movie.
Cool.
Oh, that movie's, it was just The Rock just taking names, beating the shit out of people. It was sweet. It's one of those movies where like The Rock is like the best person in the world. He's the moral center of everything.
Yep.
It's just superhero kind of stuff. It was great.
It is sad that I've seen the game plan, but not Doom.
Oh well. 9 is Pokemon, the first movie.
God, I remember being so excited for this.
I remember liking this.
Yeah.
I remember we couldn't wait. We imported the Japanese version of it, which was probably better. It wasn't even subtitled or anything.
No.
We got a VHS of the Japanese version, sat down and watched it numerous times. What was wrong with us?
I don't know.
And I thought it was awesome.
Well, we'd seen the English version in theaters first, right?
No.
Oh, I thought we did.
I don't think we did.
Oh, God.
I mean, you figured out what was going on, but I don't know. I thought, I feel like there might be worse movies. I mean, if there's one viewable movie missing here. Number 8, House of the Dead is only number 8.
Oh, I watched the beginning of that with you, and I had to leave the room.
I'm sorry, House of the Dead should be 1, because House of the Dead is one of the greatest movies ever, because it is just amazing.
There's nothing to do with the game at all.
There are zombies.
So
Sega's name's all over. It's so good.
Yeah, like Sega like sponsored the rave on the island.
My favorite part is Paul uses scenes from the sadder version of House of the Dead for transitions. It makes no sense.
I know.
The movie is, there's like a 15 minute long fight scene where the guys are just fighting all these zombies and there's some rap song playing the whole time. It's like, it's the House of the Dead. It's the House of the Dead. And the entire time, like there's no consistency between the shots whatsoever. Like, they'll show a character with a shotgun, then the angle will change, and all of a sudden she has dual pistols and stuff like that. Amazing stuff. No, House of the Dead is one of my most favorite movies to watch. It is. It is hilarious.
Oh, good for you.
7 is Blood Rain, which is another bull movie.
Which has Sir Ben Kingsley in it.
It does.
How does he do that shit?
It's not as bad as In the Name of the King having
Burt Reynolds,
Jason
and
Statham,
John Rhys Davies.
John Rhys Davies.
I can see Statham doing
Hellboy.
That.
Hellboy.
Ron Perlman.
Was there a situation that Statham has no standards? Because Jason Statham is an amazing actor.
Okay, keep going.
Blood Rain, it's not one of the
better. Derek points out, Bull did hire actual prostitutes for the movie because they were cheaper than extras and they would do more stuff.
They were in a scene with Meatloaf. Blood Rain is probably on the worst end of the Bull movies as far as entertainment goes. I remember having one of the most awkward sex scenes ever. 6 is The Wizard, which I guess kind of counts.
I love the power glove.
Oh,
it's so bad.
Man, watching The Wizard is...
It's a Nintendo commercial. And it always bothered me as a kid that, like, it was the debut of Super Mario Bros. 3, and yet they all knew about the whistle.
I had so much fun watching this movie just recently for, like, really the first time. Oh, man, it was so great. The best part is, like, the story gets kind of serious. Like, it's mostly about a retard kid who's, like, fighting with his, like, troubled past and stuff like that. But it's also a Nintendo commercial, and he's good at Nintendo games. And it's all these Nintendo games all over the place. It's so great. 5 is Alone in the Dark, which is another Bull movie. It was really one of his most forgettable ones, really. Really, really, really. I'm like a 80s teen girl. But I don't know. Alone in the Dark wasn't all that great for me. Despite
sorry
being
to hear
a
Bull
movie. Yeah, I'm sorry. 4 is the original Street Fighter movie. Which,
oh, man.
Wow.
Which this movie
just got re-released, which I'm really excited
on Blu-ray.
To see. You know what's awesome is apparently the new Street Fighter movie is also terrible.
Oh, shocking.
Came out today.
I just love that Guile, who's supposed to be like gung-ho America, is played by Jean-Claude Van Damme with like his Austrian accent or whatever it is. It's like... Not even close.
The coolest thing about the Street Fighter movie is that they made a game based on it.
Oh, I know.
Which is just so meta, it hurts.
Did you ever see the... they released just a few months ago, like, pictures of them filming the game where, like, you know, they're in front of the blue screens and they're, like, standing on blue boxes so they can look like they're airborne doing all these moves frame by frame.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
That's the way you do it.
It's also kind of sad that was Raul Julia's last film before he died.
Three is Double Dragon, which
starring the Iron Chef America chairman.
Yes, it actually does.
And Alyssa Milano. Chef.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. When I saw this movie recently, because I've seen all these movies just recently because I was on a kick with my one friend to see bad movies. The thing that impressed me about Double Dragon was it's not like the other movies on this list in that it actually seemed like they were kind of trying for something. Like, it had a surprisingly big budget and, like, decent production values. The whole thing's crap anyways, but, like...
They tried.
Right. And it is one of the ones that is so bad that it's fun to watch.
Isn't Bailey from Party of Five in that?
I wouldn't know.
You got me.
I could ask my mom.
God, I hope I'm
she
wrong.
She likes Party of Five. Two is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Oh, man. That was something.
I don't think I've seen Annihilation. I just
saw
the original.
You need to see Annihilation.
The original Mortal Kombat was incredibly faithful to the source material.
Right. No, Annihilation.
To a fault, maybe.
Annihilation is one of the most ridiculous movies I've ever seen. It's literally just, it starts off, they just like fight. It starts off right where the first one ended, and literally... Like bad claymation ninjas who are on fire start falling out of the sky. And yes, this is about as ridiculous as it sounds. And they just try to get all these street fighters, and it culminates in this battle between like Liu Kang turns into a dragon and Shao Kahn turns into a dragon. But it's like I said, it's claymation in live action. And keep in mind, this is 1999, the same time that episode 1 came out. So it looks terrible. Oh, God, it's bad stuff.
Can I go back to Double Dragon for a moment?
Do it.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I was right. Scott Wolf is in that movie. I wish I didn't know that.
Oh.
Paul Dini wrote it.
Who?
Paul Dini is the guy behind Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And he's a pretty respected comic book writer now.
I can kind of see that, though.
Well, yeah, we all got to cut our teeth somewhere, I guess.
You know, I can kind of see... Like I said, Double Dragon...
They tried.
I kind of like Double Dragon tried. It did. It's not like Street Fighter. So Street Fighter is just like terrible and the production values are horrible. There is something to Double Dragon. It's terrible. But I kind of could have seen how maybe if they did a couple things different, it might have been popular. Number one is the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh,
no argument
God.
Here.
I don't know. I always have...
I honestly thought it was enough to just like... We're going to call these things Goombas. They don't look like Goombas. We're going to call them Goombas. And look, there's a Super Scope. Clearly, this is inspired by the video game. Like, it had nothing to do with anything.
It was another one, though, that at least had decent production values.
Oh, right. I like Bob Hoskins, years later, is quoted to say it was the worst thing he ever did.
Ouch. Oh, what Dennis Hopper thought. Dennis Hopper playing the same bad guy he plays in every movie.
Yes, but this time his name was Koopa, so...
He played basically the same character from Waterworld.
Dennis Hopper will probably point to the deck on the back of his house that that movie built.
Yes. Yes. the one thing I will say is probably Bob Hoskins was perfect casting. Like, he should play Mario. I have no problem with that.
What about John Leguizamo?
My personal friend, John Leguizamo, did a fine job.
You were an extra in that miniseries he was in.
We were tight.
He was a little too happy-go-lucky for me. I liked how they, like...
But then, like, he was the one going after the princess, Luigi.
Right, that was
like,
the problem, is they made Luigi the love interest, because that guy can't fall in love with the princess, of course.
Yeah.
I liked how Yoshi was in it.
How are Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo supposed to be brothers?
I don't. John Leguizamo's not even Italian.
I think in the movie it stated somewhere that they weren't.
Yeah, he was like adopted
brothers.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah, they're not literal brothers.
Oh,
so there you go, huh, smart guy. You thought that they didn't have
then,
that
like,
covered.
Also,
huh?
Like, they were like bullet bills and the bombs in the
right. Like, there's weird references and stuff.
Like the Mushroom Kingdom was like in some weird desert planet and like some kind of Blade Runner dystopia.
When I saw it as a kid, I remember what they did to Toad scarred me.
Oh, yeah, well, Toad is some creepy deadbeat with a harmonica who they turned into a Goomba.
It scared the crap out of me. What they did to
the Super Scopes were Devo guns.
That was funny.
I know so much about this movie that I shouldn't. There was no water. They took baths in mud.
Yeah.
Where Koopa famously said, you know what's the best part about mud? It's clean and it's dirty at the same time.
No, it's not. Anyways, there's some exceptions from this list that I take issue with. He says Tomb Raider. I saw Tomb Raider 2, which was terrible. All three Resident Evil movies are horrible. And
they get progressively worse.
Yeah, that's what I was about. It's not only that they get progressively worse, but they also are worse for different reasons.
Like, the first one's a terrible horror movie, the second one's a horrible action movie, and the third one's a horrible sci-fi movie.
Well, hit there all the go. Genres.
Yeah.
I think one is watchable.
I remember I like walked out on one a lot when I was watching it. Not in the theater, I only rented it. And also I watched them all out of order. I think I watched it 3, 1, 2.
Maybe that's
one,
why I don't
one
like
was
it.
Probably no I think the one I liked watching the best was 2, just because if I'm gonna watch a dumb movie, it might as well be a dumb action movie.
Makes sense.
Okay.
But I definitely did not like any of them. But I enjoyed this list because I love bad movies. Absolutely.
I know.
In the Name of the King, Mike, that was a pretty spectacular film.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I saw Postal recently. Wow. I didn't like Postal as much because it was like, Uwe Boll's trying to be funny. It's not quite as the same, you know? And it was just horribly tasteless.
Right. Even for you.
Yeah, like there's literally a scene where they just shot children, and like the children were like, it was like they had like the realistic gun wounds and stuff, but like the children were like they looked like they're bad actors. They're kind of laughing about it, but it's still a horrible image.
I don't know. And if it was I still
like
that.
At the point and the idea that it was a joke. Like Uwe Boll was like, ha ha ha, dead children. Ha ha ha.
Good.
He made a cameo in that movie too, which was amazing. Oh, good. Well, I guess we're at the end here then. We'll end it on dead children.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
There you go.
Fiend, thank you for joining us.
Yes,
for
having yes. me. Well done, sir.
Yeah, really enjoyed having you here. You have to come back sometime, all right?
Anytime.
You promise?
Promise.
All right, good.
We're lonely.
Nah, I just don't want to be stuck with the Edge guy.
Totally. Uh-huh.
It's good to have someone else. Next time, mock Edge guy more for me, for my amusement. That's like my big joy out of this is making fun of you sometimes.
I know.
I know.
Just nice.
You could bring up the Ocarina thing again, I guess.
Oh my god!
I want a T-shirt from that. Thank you.
Oh please! Has everyone got a T-shirt? I thought who went
to. Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I can end on this if you want. I can save everybody out there in podcast land $60. Don't buy the LucasArts book.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
I heard
really?
You twittering about that, about how it's a real
this.
Big disappointment.
God damn it. Rob Smith wrote it, who's, I guess, the official PlayStation Magazine editor now. Used to work mm-hmm. for PC Gamer. Good writer. I've always respected his work. I can only imagine the book was commissioned so they have something to put in the lobby at Lucas.
You said, like, they give as much page space to, like, Day of the Tentacle as, like, a crappy Star Wars game, right?
Yeah, there's it's literally just page after page after page of every game that came out, and a little bit of backstory in the beginning. There's maybe a magazine article's worth of interesting stuff in there, but the rest...
Jeez. So it lacks meat.
It lacks anything you didn't already know.
That sucks.
That's so bad, because I feel like there's such a good story to write just about...
Yeah, but you see, and you know why it's not going to happen, at least something official? Because all these games kind of end with disaster and sadness, and LucasArts probably doesn't want you knowing about that.
But it's like it tries to pretend that the second half of the company's games are just as good.
Ugh.
No.
That's a problem right
like,
there.
Like, what, do they get, like, Gladiator? Not Gladiator. What was that one game called? Gladius.
Gladius.
That's in there. And it gets a whole page spread, you know, and Full
and
Throttle
RTX
gets a half
Red
a page.
Rocks.
Red RTX Rocks, Red right. Rocks has Hal Barwood saying how much it's still his favorite game he ever made. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I want Obi-Wan for Xbox.
Yeah. To be fair, they do say Obi-Wan sucks.
Oh, good.
Well, that's nice of them. These are not... Do they have Bombad Racing on there? I guess LucasArts didn't really make that, huh?
No, I don't think... But it's just... It's such not. A nice book. It's big. It's $60. It's got a cool lenticular cover. And then Curse of Monkey Island gets one page.
Whoa, you know? What?
That's impossible. That's just fail.
What? Oh, well. My God. Do they even, like... Oh, no, I don't know what to say.
Just don't.
Let's just... now you're depressing me. Let's just end it there.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Exploding Barrel. I mean, twitter.com/Exploding Barrel. Our website is still at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com.
Adjguy711@gmail.com. Fiend, how can they get a hold of you if they want to?
They can either follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/fiendwagger, or they can just go to fiendwagger.com.
That's right. You got your own blog thing going.
Got my own thing going.
That's right. Good for you, sir. Yeah. Fancy pants. All right, everyone. I'm the only one who doesn't blog, I feel like. Maybe once that squad site's up, I'll blog a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I usually get everything off my chest during this. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. Oh, that's right. I was supposed to come up with a sign-off.
You didn't, did you?
What?
Just don't think about it. Just say something.
I will never dance again.
Oh, God.